Well, this morning, I want to share a few things with you concerning grace that we see in this reading today. It's a full, the gospel reading, all the readings are just full, as they usually are, but we can see that just hearing it this morning. When I was ordained a priest, a friend of mine came. He was my supervisor when I was a seminary, and he came and preached. And he mentioned something there to illustrate the work of grace that I have not forgotten since then. So I'm going to share it with you now. I've shared it with you before, but, it bears repeating. Receiving the gospel, receiving Jesus, is like having a light shine upon us. And our lives can be like a chest with a lot of different drawers in it. And there are some older antique-type chests that have square drawers in. Pharmacists used to use them. So, the square in the front, you pull them out, and whatever the pharmacist kept in there could be of some interest today, but there they were. And it says, living the Christian life is like having one of those drawers pulled out that had been dark, but the light is still on your whole life. And then you pull one out, it shines in there. Another one comes out and the light shines in there. And another one comes out and the light shines in there. That's like what John wrote here, grace upon grace. You receive the grace of God and then you keep receiving the grace of God in all the areas of your life. Now, as I was thinking about this, another incident came to my mind. And are any of you familiar with the story of Corrie ten Boom? Yeah, sure. Very, very famous. And I spent some time in concentration camps in Nazi Germany and was released. Her sister went in with her. They were not Jewish, but they went in there for harboring and hiding Jewish people. So she and her sister are in there, and her sister dies in the concentration camp at the hands of one of the guards. So time goes on, the war's over, she gets out. She's in church one morning, and the pastor introduces someone who's just become a Christian, who was the guard that oversaw her sister's death. Corrie ten Boom gets up, stands in the middle of the aisle near the back, and he's up near the front. He turns around and sees her. And there's a moment, and then a longer moment, and she finally goes and embraces him. Forgiveness had come through her. And I don't know what they did after that, but that was an incredible, incredible time. Now these two things, the chest of drawers where you pull out the drawer and the light shines in, that's what it is, as I mentioned, to have grace upon grace. It accumulates in your life. And you want it to accumulate. You want it to go into those places that are untouched by Jesus and the Spirit of God up to this point. But there's another translation of that phrase. And I came across it in my favorite commentary on the Gospel of John, written by Raymond E. Brown. All very impressive, two volumes and all this, but there it is. And he translates the Gospel himself, and he translates this phrase this way. And of his fullness, we have all had a share, love in place of love. Love in place of love. Now, I think that's what we saw with Corrie ten Boom. There was a love she had for Jewish people. There was a love she had for her sister. And that was not so much taken away, but on top of that, replacing the amount of love she had with a greater amount of love, was the love Jesus has for everyone, sinner or not. Of course, since there are no non-sinners, it would be everyone. And she got that. Her amount of love was replaced with a greater amount of love. Now, I think if we were in a Bible study or you know, looking at this as in a scholarly way, we'd say, well, which translation is correct? The one which replaces love or the one which accumulates grace? Now, if you ask me, which I know you didn't yet, but I'll tell you anyway, if you ask me, I think it's both. I think it's the whole thing, that the love that we have is increased and therefore replaced by the full love that Jesus has, and that keeps increasing all throughout our lives, which is grace upon grace. And that's what it is to live the Christian life, to follow Jesus. You know, where a desire perhaps for revenge or whatever it may be is replaced by forgiveness, and then a growing desire to be more and more like Jesus all the time. It's replacement and accumulation. And that's why Jesus came to us in the way that he did, for those things to happen with us. So what is John referring to here that Jesus replaced? He says, from his fullness we've all received or had a share of love in place of love. What was replaced? Well, it was the law of Moses. And that law of Moses is absolutely a gift. It's a grace in and of itself. It shows what's on God's heart and mind. It outlines how we might live. As Paul describes it, it's a custodian or a teacher of the steps that we might take. And the only problem with the law is that we can't do it. We just can't do it on our own power. It's not possible for us to do that. To keep the Ten Commandments. I remember as a high school student in my church, the youth leader was my math teacher. So Sunday nights were there with him, and he gets the chalkboard up and he puts the Ten Commandments up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then reads number one, and he says, okay, let's see how good we can keep this one. Number one, who has kept that one? And then he goes to the New Testament and describes what it is to keep that. Well, nobody kept that one. It went all the way through. We didn't keep a one of them according to the things that Jesus said about them. Are you all comfortable with that? You okay with that? Thinking you might have kept one? We can talk afterwards. Yes. Yes. You call somebody a fool, you're liable to the fires of hell. You break one point of the law, James says, you've broken the whole thing. I like to think about that like this. What Jesus is saying is this: if you roll through the stop sign instead of stopping at the stop sign, you have broken the entire penal code of state, local, and federal levels. In other words, you just can't keep it. The law is a gift. It shows you what to do to live, but you can't keep it. Just can't do that. And that what has been replaced is that gift, that expression of the love of God for how we should live, that has been replaced with what Jesus provides, which is the forgiveness for not being able to do it and the power which will accumulate in our lives to be able to do it. That's what he gives. He gives us what we cannot gain on our own. And that's, like we like to say sometimes, the whole deal right there. This enduring love is what comes through Jesus. Now, I mean, these are very stark terms, stating that we can't keep the law this way, and that Jesus what Jesus did is perfectly kept the entire law and then transfers it to us. All of that to us in that transferring of love in place of love. These are stark terms. And I think it underlines something that is very powerful. And it's this. God cares more about pouring love into our lives and into our hearts than we care about receiving it. If God puts a dream on your heart, God cares more about that dream being accomplished than we do. Even if we give everything into it, there's more of God in caring about that than there is in us. And that's what it takes for that love of the law to be replaced with the love of Jesus. Another way of thinking about this is God is not looking for perfect lives, which should be a relief to us. God is not looking for perfect lives, but looking for responsive lives. It's not, are we living up to a standard for the way that we worship? Are we worshiping correctly? It's, are we thirsty for the presence and love of Jesus? Which is to suggest, if you look on the wrong page of the bulletin today at some point, but you are thirsty beyond what you can imagine for the love of Jesus, you have worshiped powerfully. It's one little indication that love has come to you in place of love. Well, hopefully you get the point that I'm trying to make. It can be a slippery one because we just love to do it ourselves. Have you ever noticed that? And, you know, if you haven't noticed that about yourself, just ask somebody you live with. They'll be happy to fill you in on the situation as it may be. It's just the way we are. And God says, yes, I know you love to do it your way. Let's replace that love with this one. Because your eye has not seen, and your ear has not heard, and your mind has not imagined what is in store for the love I'm pouring into you. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we bless you and we thank you that you have come to pour your love into us. We ask that today the drawers within our heart and soul that you want opened, especially the ones that have never been opened, that they'd be opened today and your light would come in. We ask that we would welcome the replacement, the addition of love that comes from you on top of the love that we desire. And we ask that today for the glory of your name. Amen.